All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. I can't believe we're just a few days away from Christmas. I know that there's a lot of prophecies going around about what's going to happen on Christmas, but I really want to encourage you to picture it in your mind that, you know, you're going to choose to enjoy this one as it may be your last one, you know. No matter who's around or your circumstances about Christmas, you know, just keep it in mind that this is the hour that we're in. It is what it is, and we have Jesus. Because the world has shifted, and the world has changed, and we're going to have to get it in our spirit how it is with the Lord alone. And I'm saying this very soberly this morning because I lost another friend this week due to their choices, and it is what it is. You know, but our surroundings, the people in our lives, as the pressure gets on, will begin to go further and further and further into a separateness when you stand up for holiness and righteousness. So I just really want to encourage you guys that although you may be alone this Christmas, you know, set a table for Jesus. You know, this is truly the time. We know it's not the exact day. I mean, we're not stupid. But we choose this day to sit and think about when he was really born and what that really means, you know, to us as a people and to our families and everything else that has to do with our identity. So set a table, make him a cake, you know, whatever you want to do, knowing that he's there. He really is. But I'm afraid that with the plots and the plans that the enemy has for us in 2025, it's going to be a lot more of separation taking place because I don't think we really understand to the level of deception that's coming, because I just showed you guys yesterday on band a video that of a live event with Trump and his family, his surroundings, the Seven Mountain Mandate leaders, the NAR leaders, you know, are all gathered right now, and they're plotting and planning how they're going to take ground in 2025. So we think we have seen the false prophecies. We think we've seen, you know, their version of revival. I really don't think we've really seen what's about to hit us, you know. So a lot of public pressure I see, a lot of shaming, and, you know, as this global awakening is happening of this joy, you know, that they've got planned for everything. The ones that are not going to participate in this patriotism worship is going to be shamed. And so we've got to get it in our head that it is me and Jesus, you know, just like it talks about in Psalms, where he sits at a table with us in the midst of the wilderness. That's the way I feel about it. The world around us is swirling. The world around us is on fire, you know. And we're left with Jesus because in our hearts and in our minds, we're already in eternity. We have eternity on our mind. And because they, the ones who are crossing back over or who are making these decisions, want to live. you know, they have aspirations or whatever, and, you know, they just can't see the hour we're in type of deal. They're going to do what they're going to do. But for us that see what's happening and don't want to get swept up with the deception, you know, or having to choose to sacrifice, that's what it is, you know. The suffering to not go into the metaverse. All right, so that's one warning I have for you this morning. The next is this morning the Lord laid it on my heart. I've already ordered more Christmas cards to send. But the Lord laid it on my heart that all them ministers that I served 12 years ago when I traveled the country, and they were mad at me because I turned on Trump, you know, and didn't like the direction I'm taking because of where, you know, they were all NAR, which I didn't know about it, but, you know, they're still in that vein, as far as I know. Some may have jumped off, but it's in my heart now. I'm going to write them a letter, and I'm going to thank them, you know, for what they did for me and how it took me to the White House. I would have never known, you know, the servanthood and the lessons I learned from their ministries. You know, I'm going to give them honor where honor is due. And I'm also going to warn them, and I'm going to tell them, you know, you guys, because we're talking, I don't know how many ministries I'm talking about. You know, maybe 20 or so. But they're all connected to the top. So I know that what I'm about to do is going to be seen by the top. But this is what the Lord is telling me, so it's what's going to happen. But I'm going to send it to these leaders and tell them, this is what's coming to your church. They're going to say, you know, that it is biblical, historical Christianity, you know. That's what they're calling the Noahide laws now. We just found this out yesterday at this Trump meeting. Biblical, historical Christianity. Remember Judeo-Christian? Now we know why they've called it Judeo-Christian. Because Judeo is now the biblical, historical Christianity. So they're renaming Jesus, you know, all under this banner. It's hard to, the deception's going to get so bad. But they're calling it biblical, historical. So I'm going to send it out. And tell them, you know, if they want to get my book about the Noahide laws, you know, that I wrote a book on it, they can order it. You know, but tell them, this is coming to your church, and it's going to be on your head now. Because I'm warning you, like one final warning, that they're going to come under this name and, you know, maybe tell them a few other things I know about what the government's doing. But kind of give them as a body of Christ one last cry, warning. You know, these leaders that I'll be sending it to, they're movers and shakers in the kingdom. That's why God put me under them, to teach me. So I'm asking you as a church to pray for me this week. And, you know, that when these pastors and these leaders get this Christmas card with a letter in it, you know, that they'll really sit down and read it. Because one thing that you can all say, they cannot look at my life and what God did since I left their church and not say it was God. There's no way that I can get off a bus, on a Greyhound bus, with $9 in a suitcase and be in the White House within 1 month. There is no way. So, you know, they got to be thinking this, you know. Well, I do see what God, maybe I should read this. God, every one of them know God miraculously put me in there. They're the ones that brought me a new car. It wasn't a brand new car, but it was a car. You know, they sent me wardrobes of clothes and all kinds of stuff. So they know the magnitude of what God did. What they don't like is them feeling like what I learned and turned, you know. So we need to pray that they will hear the gravity of what I'm trying to say, that I love them enough to warn them. I came from them, you know. I know how their ministry thinks. I know their doctrine and everything. So pray that I'll be able to write this letter in a language that they will listen over Christmas holidays. You know, and hopefully they'll contact me and want to know more and get the books so that they can learn for their church. And then when those people come knocking on the door, because here's the plan. They just announced it. They are getting a tour team together to travel across the country. They're going to every city and every town. And they are going to begin to mark all churches who are not with them. And they're going to begin a shaming campaign. And they're going to publicly humiliate them. So these churches need to know that they're coming to your town. Do not sign this document. They're wanting an affirmation. Remember me telling you about that word affirm? They're wanting these pastors to affirm that they will begin to teach this new doctrine. And this new doctrine is called Biblical Historical Christianity. I need to tell them no. The name of it is Noahide Laws. You know, it's so deceptive how they're doing it. But see, what it is the beast, the Antichrist, has had all these evangelicals who know how we think. These people are the ones that we have watched on TV for years, you know. They have trained all these masses and millions of people out here how to worship God, you know, how to think about God. They're the ones talking and teaching them how to lure us in. So it's not going to be easy for these people to say no to these power hitters, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, just pray for me on that. Okay, the next thing I want to talk to you guys about is, and I want you to write me, if any of you guys are getting sick, I'm hearing reports all over the country about the frequency going up. And I know this is weird talking about in church, but I just wanted to tell you, since this is the last time I'll be with you until next Sunday, okay? If you or people that you know are getting sick when they go outside, they can tell a real difference between when they're in their house and when they step outside in the frequency. Will y'all let me know? Because I'm getting reports on this. You know, people are throwing up and you know, getting real weak, headaches, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this stuff, it's increasing because that's why you're seeing all these drones and everything. Because they're up in the frequency. That's the only way these things can operate, okay? But to the ones who have not taken the V and stuff, it hurts them. Okay, the next thing I want to talk to you about is I am off this week. You know, so there will be no prayer calls or Zoom. And next week, we will have a prayer call Monday and Tuesday, not Wednesday, because we'll have a New Year's Eve service Tuesday night at 10 p.m., and then we'll do communion and stuff like that. And then that Wednesday night is the first day of college, January 1st. So we have our first meeting that night, and then Thursday we'll have no Zoom, but we will have prayer call. And then we'll have that prayer call on Friday. Now, Denise, praise God, who is in the Bible College, she will be doing the Friday morning prayer calls, taking that from me because we have to do Thursday night. So I have a real long day on Thursday. I have the, you know, the three-hour prayer call in the morning and the three-hour Zoom at night, you know. And I'm saying minimum. So she's going to begin to do Friday, so I'm very thankful for that. So the week of New Year's, we will kick off our 40-day fast. I encourage all of you guys to do it because what we're going to be facing in 2025, we've got to give God our first. You know, it's a principle with God. He wants the first of everything. And so we're going to give him the first 40 days. This year we are doing it a little bit. You don't have to register. I don't have to know who's doing it. But I am encouraging that you really press in, get on the prayer calls every morning because if you can, or at least listen to them, because during these 40 days, you know, God speaks. It's really amazing. And we're doing the intermittent fast. The intermittent fasting is the minimum requirement. You know, just the least you do is just do without food until 5 p.m. and then, you know, try to eat light. You know, just avoid the regular pleasures you have when it comes to eating and stuff. And, let's see. But to those that, you know, want to do just all water, especially the first week, you know, we do encourage that. All right. The main thing about the 40-day fast is for us to come together in unity and to come together in unity and to, you know, pray as the body of Christ about stepping into the 2025 when the Antichrist takes his throne. And this is not going to be a small thing what we're stepping into, so we need to be ready for the persecution and stuff, and we're going to have, you know, the blood of Jesus cover us and everything. All right, so Merry Christmas, everyone. We love you very much. We're so honored to be a part of your life. We're so honored that you guys have moved with us, you know, as we transition out of the metaverse, which I'm still under a lot of persecution about going off of YouTube. And, you know, not doing the norms of what people are doing. But we are on our way, headed underground. So we're getting used to this new way that we're doing things, you know, audio and coming out of the video and stuff. AI is definitely taking over on YouTube. I do have the one little YouTube channel that I use for emergencies, and I think I'm going to have to do an emergency today about, you know, what they're coming after the church about, you know, just so I can get it out there. But that's the only reason I use that, is so I can produce a video and then I take it down, because then I can post it up on Dropbox and then post it up on the website and then it'll be there forever type of deal. So I'm finding that that works. Okay, so Merry Christmas. We love all you guys and pray that you have a wonderful Christmas. And I do have a couple of songs I would like to sing before I hand it over to Pastor, because he is going to preach to you guys this morning about trust. And I do want to tell you this, Dennis, it's so amazing how God gives him these sermons. You know, And he said the Lord just is laying it on his heart about trust. He told me that about 4 days ago. And I said, wow, if that's not what we need right now so much, for us to be able to trust in the Lord right now. You know, this is very key. You have to have trust. You either trust the Lord or you don't. All right, so the first song I want to sing is just a little verse. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sing it with me. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray this morning that you do help us to trust and obey you, Lord. Our heart's desire is to. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the next song I want to sing for you guys is Silent Night. Let me get the lyrics up here. No, I'll tell you what. Let Pastor preach, since I just sang Trust and Obey. And at the end of his sermon, I will sing Silent Night as we prepare for Christmas this week. How's that? All right, so here we go. All right, Pastor.
Good morning, everybody. Like June said, it's a frosty morning and chilly outside, but nothing compared to what's to come, I believe. We got the wood burner cranked up. It's plenty warm in here, that's for sure. Anyway, yeah, for a week or so ago, was doing some study on something else in Revelation and was trying to come up with a message, but, you know, when you start looking in the book of Revelation, there's just, you know, you're trying to tie this thing with that thing and back and forth, and so I just was getting kind of frustrated, you know, how to put this message together, but each time I asked the Lord, you know, I was standing there, and the last time was in the shower, and I'm like, you know, how am I going to put this together? And three different times the word trust come to me, and so I thought, well, that's where this message is going to be about trust. So, and there's so much about trust, and I just want to mention also that the times we are living in, you know, and there's a lot of us who are, I guess you might say, lonely, and our friends, our families, our loved ones, you know, don't want nothing to do with us, and all that, you know. I'm sure most of you know what I'm talking about. And she was saying how she had another friend who, you know, wants to go to the way of the world, let's just say, and, you know, and I was sitting here yesterday thinking about that too, and it's like, usually at this time before Christmas, I've got a half a dozen or a dozen Christmas cards, and usually my mom is the first one I get a Christmas card from, not 2 weeks ahead of time, and we haven't even got a card from her yet this year. So, it is getting those times. And then also, I did get one Christmas card yesterday. And it was from a very dear friend of mine going a long ways back. It was when I first got saved. And these two elderly ladies kind of took me and my daughter. I was a single dad at the time raising my daughter, took us under their wing, and they really ministered to me in prayers and fellowship time. And it was back when I used to make a lot of breads, fruit and nut breads and teas, and I would always invite them over after church, and they would come and sit with me and Chantel, my daughter, and we just had just such a wonderful time. And well, one of those ladies, you know, I always called her Grandma Izzy. She's been went to be with the Lord, you know, some years ago already, and the other lady's name is Barbara. And these two ladies, I just, you know, they were such a blessing, and Barbara still is a blessing, and we haven't seen each other in a lot of years, but we communicate through letters and texts and stuff like that. But I got a Christmas card from her yesterday, and I was wanting to send her a Christmas card, but I lost all my addresses and phone numbers out of my phone once a while back, and so I didn't have her address to how to send her a card. And here I got a card from her and an address, so I'm going to have to send her. It'll probably be a late Christmas card, but and it was such a blessing to get this card. And I want to read just a small thing here. She says, "Have a wonderful Christ-filled Christmas and a very blessed New Year. Pray also for Philip, as he has been having bypass surgery in December 16th. So, you know, we pray that one we all haven't heard yet. And then she says she missed our after-church tea with those wonderful healthy breads and our prayer time with Izzy. You know, good memories," she says. "And God, you know, God bless and love and prayers." So this is the only Christmas card that we got so far, and it was such a blessing. And so I will have to send her a card.
Just to let you know that the goats out there are going crazy.
Yep.
They heard me step outside, and those goats cry like babies.
Yep.
When they want Papa out there every morning feeding them their little stuff.
Yep.
All right,
come on, girl. So anyway, I just wanted to share that awesome blessing of that one Christmas card that we got so far. And, you know, we just got to trust in the Lord that He'll make a way for any other cards to come our way. But anyway, that the word trust is, I want to get into that a little bit. Well, naturally, the first thing I did was I looked up the word trust, and it says to put one's confidence in. Firm belief in the honesty, truthfulness, justice, or power of a person or thing. Faith. Person or thing trusted. God is our trust. And that was in just your basic dictionary, and I thought that was really interesting when it said God is our trust in a secular type dictionary. So that was awesome, trust and faith. You know, those are two just words that just are glued together, you might say, or should be. So Father God, right now we just thank you as we put our faith and trust in you alone in these days, Lord. We just thank you for our dear friends and family members and people who are still like-minded with us and fellowship with us, and we can put our trust in, Lord. And so we just thank you, Lord, for your word today going out, Lord, that it'll strengthen our faith and trust in you alone, Lord, and not the ways of this world or man. So we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And then that word trust, it's, you know, there's different scriptures here, and I'm not going to get into all these scriptures. I only picked a few, but it's not to be placed in weapons, Psalm 44:6. It's not to be placed in wealth, Psalm 49:6-7. It's not to be placed in leaders, Psalm 146:3. And that's interesting. Look how many people got their trust in the leadership of this country, and that's coming in. It's not to be trusted in man. There it goes again. You know, I think some man's going to save us. Jeremiah 17:5. It's not to be trusted in our works. Jeremiah 48:7. And it's not to be trusted in one's own righteousness. Ezekiel 33:3. You know, our trust is in the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary on that cross, what he did for us. You know, trust. It's to be placed in God's name. Psalm 33:21. It's to be placed in mercy. Psalm 52:8. It's to be placed in the Word. Psalm 119:42. It's to be placed in Christ. Matthew 12:17-21. That's where our trust needs to be put in. It's not to be, you know, how do I want to say this? The benefits of trust. You know, as we trust in God's Word, you know, we'll have the benefits of trust in His joy. Psalm 5:11. The benefits of trust is deliverance. Psalm 22:4-5. The benefits of trust is triumphant. Psalm 25:2-3. God's goodness. Wow. Psalm 31:19. These are just some of the scriptures. There's more that go in there, but I'm just picking out a couple of them. You know, with each one of these that I tell you, you know, benefits of trust is in His mercy. Psalm 32:10. In His provision. Psalm 37:3-5. In His blessedness. Psalm 40:4. In safety. There's trust in His safety. I should say Psalm 91 also. All of Psalm 91. Also Psalm 56:4-11. In usefulness, Psalm 73:28. Guidance, Proverbs 3:5-6. And just so much in Proverbs. Inheritance. We can trust in the inheritance we have in Christ, in the Lord God Almighty. Isaiah 57:13. And that's where I would like everybody to turn to today. Isaiah is just an awesome book. I mean, I got on Isaiah just looking up this one scripture, and it just took me all over the book of Isaiah. I'm like, wow. And then I had to go back here, then back to Isaiah 57, then went back, you know. Isaiah is so powerful. You know, the historical background of Isaiah, you know, during the, I guess, the latter half of the 8th century, it was a long succession of ungodly kings and the dwindling of the biblical faith, you know, and it spelled the downfall of Israel, boy. And I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to probably say it again. The whole book of Isaiah, you can just pick out here and there and everywhere. Just, I mean, it's prophecy. It's stuff that talked about going to happen in the latter days, in the time we are in. It's just amazing. You know, do we not see a long succession of ungodly kings, presidents, leaders, not only political but religious leaders? Judah under degenerate King Ahaz seemed ready to follow Israel's example of apostasy and look to pagan Assyrian for protection and deliverance rather than to her covenant God Jehovah, their provider. Think about that a minute. You know, how many, you know, the world is looking for protection and deliverance from man or the systems of this world instead of God. You know, but against this, Isaiah and Micah raised a stern and determined protest. You know, they come against this. They come against the idolatry, the wickedness, all the things that they were, that Israel was doing, and that Isaiah was, you know, prophesying and you know, he was a watchman and saying, hey, come, go this way, not that way. You know, and who's standing up for righteousness today? You know, when I was reading this and studying this, I thought, wow, you know, here we got Isaiah, man, and Micah. They're standing up for righteousness. They're rebuking this evil. I mean, it's goes on and on, you know. And who today is standing up? Who's protesting this? Who's exposing it? Not too many people out there. And if they are, it's probably a lot of them are just half-truths of it. They're not giving the big picture. They're drawing in people by half-truths, while the other half is, you know, they're luring them away from the big picture of what's coming. But by 626, Ahaz, a God-fearing son of Hezekiah, obliterated most of the idolatrous high places and promoted biblical literacy among the people. Then there was a change. But it probably didn't last long. That's interesting about Isaiah, you know. There's change, and then they go back. There's change, and they go back. And he keeps you know, having to rebuke him. I just, you know,
Pastor, can I interrupt a second?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell us again what scripture are you on? Where are you at?
Isaiah 57.
Okay, thank you. Isaiah, sorry.
Yeah, Isaiah 57, and I'm going to go to verse 13 right quickly here. But just go read through Isaiah and just, most of the people that follow us and follow Mama, you know, and her newscasting and exposing what the darkness out there, the deception, and how people are living in delusion and the half-truths, you'll see it. It's just so sad. You know, politics and religion, nobody wants to talk about it. even mention anything about politics or religion in my family, in our family gatherings, boy, you're put under the table, put it that way. And it's so sad because that's what makes the world go around. I've said for years, politics and religion. No, they don't want to, nobody wants to talk about it. It's sad. So, you know, what is now so easily seen, you know, where the masses of people and so on, sad to say the church in whole, is trusting in a man or a lost degenerate system along with their leadership. You know, that's what I see it. You know, that a degenerate, you know, what's that word? Having lost the physical, mental, and moral qualities considered normal and desirable. You just don't see that out there hardly in any of the, you know, anymore. Showing evidence of decline. You know, a degenerate form of the higher civilization. You know, that's what they want. Sorry, it don't go along with the scriptures. Immoral or corrupt person. Whoa, I say. You know, I believe America has a long succession of ungodly leaders, presidents. Or should I say kings, and so we got one coming in the White House right shortly. Also a dwindling of true biblical faith, trust in the Lord God Almighty. This is my opinion. And now look who is going to be in America's king. Very interesting, eh? For those that seek real truth and can clearly see without being deceived or living in the delusion, there is a great apostasy happening in the church and the political leadership of deep pagan practices, I believe. And we know this very clearly. I mean, look what June has exposed about some of the people coming into the White House, the new cabinet that Mr. T is putting in. The pagan practices there, what do we call that? Witchcraft. I did a message a while back about bewitching. We see that everywhere. You know, people, when you won't accept truth, you can't see truth, you're willingly ignorant of truth, you're bewitched. Well, sorry I had to say this. The same as in Isaiah's time, we now see today. Those that are not willingly ignorant, but sadly being led astray into what? They're being led astray into the one world religion, into the one world government system, and they're merging fast. Anyway, the book of Isaiah, we have all this rebellion going on, a long succession of ungodly leaders and kings, judgment and burdens upon the nations, idol worship, and the list goes on. But in Isaiah 57, let's go to verse 13. And Isaiah 57, the chapter is about condemnation of Israel's idolatry. Okay? This is interesting, verse 13. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Whew! Hallelujah. Lord, we just put our trust in you alone. We thank you, Lord, that we will possess the land and we shall inherit your holy mountain. We're going to talk about this. Verse 14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. But thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him. Also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Wow. Ain't that awesome? I want to go back and read that again. When thou criest, when these people of the ways of the world, and they're crying out, oh, who's going to deliver thee? Verse 13. But as they put their trust and faith in man or the ways of this world, the systems of this world, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. Emptiness, nothingness, stuff of no value shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me, in the Lord God Almighty, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Amen, yes. You know, Let's turn to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. And like I said, all of Isaiah is so just one of my favorite books. It's highlighted all over. Isaiah 30. You know? When these people are putting their trust in man, the futility of relying, Isaiah 30, the first part of Isaiah 30, it's about the futility of relying on Egypt. Okay? And for us today, it's the futility of relying on the ways of the world. Woe to verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth. They didn't ask God. Oh, we're just going to trust in man. It sounds, they're tickling my ears. That sounds like the way to go. No, they didn't ask of God to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh is what they did, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Wow. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Now I'm going to stop right there for a minute. That word confusion. Do we not see, and a lot of people don't even know they're living in confusion. There's an organization, there's a cult out there, and I'm not going to say it right now. But I know someone very dear to me who's involved in this cult. They've sent me information, and I've read it, and I'm like, what? Little booklet, and I read it, and I underlining everything that didn't line up with the word. And then I studied it, and this has been 15 years ago or better. And when I was studying it, what I got out of it was it's the spirit of confusion. People are dabbling in witchcraft, occultish stuff, which we see all over the board through our government and our religious systems. There's a spirit of confusion that goes upon people, and they don't even know it. If you could read further down on this here, and it just lines up with what we see. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose, verse 7, and in no purpose therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go write it before them on a table and note it on a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. We can see that all over today. You know, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, the world system. Verse 31 again, verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will rise against the house of evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Whoa. You know, one must see all of Isaiah. You know, you must read it all and really look at it and ask the Lord, Lord, show us. What do we need to get out of this book of Isaiah? You know, to get the big picture of what the world is going on. As Mama says, what the world? I don't mean that in a laughing manner. This is serious stuff we're dealing in. And even now, just read Isaiah. And there's so much of what I see today. The words of Isaiah in that time are so relevant of the times now. You know, they're so closely connected of what is being done now. You know, you can also read Isaiah and get much encouraging scriptures. How we must rely on the Lord and trust in Him alone. There are some good scriptures in Isaiah, you know, where you can go, yeah, you know. For instance, Isaiah 40, you know, and it's the latter part of it. It's all, well, Isaiah 40, you know, it's comfort and trust in the Lord. You know, we're reading all this stuff about, you know, terrible stuff of idol worship and all this stuff, but yet how Isaiah throws in this stuff to, I believe it's to encourage the people, to build them up, to strengthen them, but it's, Isaiah 40 is about comfort through the trust in the Lord. Amen. You know, it's about the majesty of the Lord. Read chapter 40 in Isaiah. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, this is Isaiah 40 verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that brings out their host by number. He calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power not one failing. Verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Father God, I just thank you right now, Lord, that as we seek your word and we call upon you, Lord, that you increase the, give us strength, Lord, not only in our physical body, but in our mind. We just thank you, Father. Praise you for that strength. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. Wow. But verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that as we wait upon the Lord, he will give us strength to carry on. I know there's many weary people out there, and some days we are too. Trust me. But the Lord says here, as we wait upon the Lord, as we put our hope, our faith, and our trust in the Lord, he will renew our strength. You know, and we will run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. Amen. But Isaiah, the book of Isaiah is so good. I just encouraging everyone to get into the book of Isaiah, you know. Isaiah 53 is so good, you know. Isaiah 54, the Lord's everlasting love for Israel. We are the Israel of today. The people that put their faith, their trust, their hope in God, the ones who are born again, which filled with the Spirit of the Lord, that's the real Israel of today. That's the new covenant. It's not the country of Israel. And I may have people come hard down on me. I may have the world systems come down on me today for that, for saying this. But that is the truth of the matter. You know, God's everlasting love for us. And there's people in Israel that God loves. I'm not saying that. But the country, the systems of not just Israel, but America, you name the country, it don't matter. But God's everlasting love for his people, his people that put their hope and trust in him, whew, chapter 54, verse 1, sing, O barren thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud that thou didst not travail with child, but more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Who are we married to today? That marriage supper with the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Verse 5, for the Maker is thy husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Hallelujah. Call upon the Lord. Verse 6, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith the God, saith thy God. But anyway, Isaiah 50, all of Isaiah is so awesome. You know, it'll show you a big picture. And it's interesting here, going back to Isaiah 57, Okay. Isaiah 57, verse 13, but the latter part of it, the first part. When thou criest, let the companies deliver thee. Let the companies deliver thee. What's he saying? You know, let the many idols and companies of foreigners you have made alliances with deliver you. That's what he's saying there. Because that's what they were doing. They were coming, you know, the infiltration, you know, of the church back then, of God's people. They were these different foreigners, these companies of foreigners that they were making alliances with. They were turning these idols, trusting in them. Can we not see that today? Can we now not see the infiltration of people, their organizations? And this is so interesting when I was reading this, and I'm like, wow. And these thoughts were coming in, I'm going, wow. These movements of today going out there, the deceptive movements being played out right now, right in front of people. But they're not putting their trust in God. They're not seeing the big picture. And they do not see do we not see a great body of people being sucked right into the delusion of it all? You know, dig deep into who some of these people are, these movements that's going across the country today. And my awesome wife, June, she's exposing these. And any of you that follow along, you know they're everywhere. They're in the church. They're in the politics and religion, the systems of this world that people are relying on. Just think about it. Dig deep into who these people are, these movements are. And many of them are but foreigners. Are people masquerading around as someone who they're not? That's what's going on here. The real true God-fearing church, can I say remnant church, in such a time as this? You know, they're the ones who will take truth, see it for what it is, and, you know, maybe have to repent. May have to acknowledge, Lord, forgive me. Come out of the Egypt, might we say. You know, Romans 9, Paul describes how God will save a remnant of the Israelites while the rest will be lost. You know, okay, here it is. You know, God's people. What Paul's described here is how God will save a remnant of the Israelites while the rest will be lost. Ponder that. Think about that. Wow. Oh, how I got written here. Whoa. Whoa, Lord. Look at all the lost people who are trusting in Egypt. Jeremiah 23, verses 3 and 8. The Lord will gather the remnant of his flock, bring them back to their pasture, and place shepherds over them. That's what we need today. Lord, please gather up the remnant of your flock, the remnant of your people, Lord, should be our prayer today. Draw them back to your pasture, Lord, that green pasture. Place them in shepherds over them that will lead and guide them and show them the truth. That should be our prayer. Revelation. Let's turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went up to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Is there not a lot of something to ponder there today? And the dragon was wroth, enraged is what that word means, with the woman, with the church, with the true church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. You know? The remnant of her seed. The remnant of the church. The remnant of God's people. Can we not see that today? Mama just talked about that this morning. The plans of the enemy, who everybody's turning to and think he's going to save America. You know, those that which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, this dragon, this evil, the people being led astray, the people who are of the devil, let's just say, these Antichrist spirits upon the earth today that are taking over people, let's just say. I mean, they're coming after us. They're getting ready to make war. This is serious stuff to be pondering and thinking about. Not that we're going to live in fear, because we don't. I'm ready to go any day now. Whew, praise God. You know, each one of us are here for such a time as this. We need to seek the Lord. Lord, what do you want us to do? Amen. You know, Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You know? Who is a God like our God? There is no other God, amen? There is no other God like the Lord God Almighty who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, for your inheritance. All that you have for us, Lord, I just ask that the floodgates of heaven would open right now, Lord. Nothing could hinder the blessings of our inheritance. You know, it's not the God of this world, and that's a small g. That's my thoughts there, you know. It's coming. You know, in the Bible, the term remnant, okay, it refers to a group of people who remained loyal to God after and during the time of hardship. Many people are going through hardships now. The remnant church's purpose is to bear witness of Jesus in the world, so that others may come to faith and trust in the true Jesus. Is that not what it says here? Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:17. You know, that's, you know, example. Look at Noah. During his time, the violence, the perversion, the sin filled the whole earth, the Bible says. And here was but one man who alone in righteousness pleased God. He was a remnant. He was a part of that remnant. Whew. You know, the characteristics of the remnant. Okay? Faith and trust. Top of the line. Top of the thing. They believe God's word is true and that we are saved by grace through faith. You know, trust. They trust in Christ alone and his finished work on the cross of Calvary rather than their own works. Patience. They endure the attacks of the enemy and remain faithful and committed to Christ. Righteousness. Right standing with God. They know they are righteous because of Christ's righteousness. Amen. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know, we have to be right standing. We have with the Lord God, you know. Romans 10, verse 6 through 12. Righteousness is by faith in Christ. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on the wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessed is made unto salvation. Father God, right now we just confess Jesus Christ. We believe in his righteousness. We confess it unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, when the ways of this world and the things of this world and the things that we're talking about here that's going to be coming against the remnant, we need that strength. Remember Isaiah 40 back there? We need God's strength. Strength like eagle's wings that lift us up. And we will not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Woo! Hallelujah. We call upon the Lord today. Amen. Verse 13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you don't know the Lord today, best call upon the Lord today. Get in your quiet space and call upon the Lord. Romans 11. That was Romans 10. Let's go over to Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time, also there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. By grace alone we are saved. Praise the Lord. You know, in this Romans chapter 11, it's about the remnant of Israel. You know, just read it today. You know, and the latter part of it is about Gentiles are warned. It's a warning to the Gentiles. Then the last part of Isaiah 11 is about the restoration of Israel. You know, I want to read one verse here that I got highlighted. This is Romans 11, verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And that calling is an invitation. God's inviting us today to turn to Him. Let's go back to Isaiah 57. See what we have here. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57:13 says, trust in Him, and they shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain. Wow. You know, God promises that they who put their trust in Him will inherit the land and possess His holy mountain. Can we say part of this holy mountain be a symbol of His presence and favor? Also, this verse calls for self-reflection. Think about that. I know I had to, when I was reading this, I was and studying some of these words out and what they, you know, wow, we need to think about this. We need to reflect back, you know, a self-reflection in our reliance on worldly comforts during trials. Who are we relying on today? You know, we need to reflect back. Wow, you know. Am I relying on welfare? Am I relying on my Social Security check? I've already got that, thought about that many a time. It could be any day now. My Social Security check could be out the door. Or maybe you might be relying on your retirement plan. You know, what are you relying on today? You know, who are you? Who am I relying on during these times of the trials and burdens of this life? You know, we have to reflect back on that. This mountain, this holy mountain, here probably speaking of Mount Zion, which is to say the mountain where the temple of the Lord is situated. The temple is the place where Israel comes together in the right, you know, to praise a holy God. There's a lot about them. There's different things about the mountains. You know, also, you know, when I was further study of this here, the words of holy mountain in the Old Testament, the phrase is used 18 times in the Bible. It's talking about the garden of God. Zion is God's holy mountain, and that is where God's people are. Interesting. You know, there's I didn't look at all the scriptures, but interesting in Ezekiel 28, verses 13 through 19, this mountain of God is where Lucifer was created. Just read that. Just read part of Ezekiel 28. Verse 13, only Lucifer, no other angel, be the anointed cherub. No man could be this person. Verse 14, but he was perfect in his ways from the day he was created till iniquity was found in him. Whoa. That's what I got written here. Whoa. When I was reading this morning, I thought, wow. Here we have the perfect cherub, the perfect angel, and he was in God's holy mountain. That's where he was created. That's Ezekiel 28, verse 13 and through 19 says, but as we all know, he was cast out of that holy mountain, wasn't he, when iniquity was found in him. You know, the idea of God living on a holy mountain is a significant theme through the whole Old Testament and the Bible as a whole. Mountains are often used to represent a place where a place that is closer to God, who dwells in the heavens. Wow, we can inherit that holy mountain. We can inherit coming upon that mountain. I'm just trying to get a vision of this. Upon the holy mountain of God. You know, the Old Testament, the mountains of Sinai and Zion are especially significant, okay? Sinai is where the law was given to Moses. You know, Mount Sinai? And Mount Zion, the mountain of the temple where God dwells, and where the events of the messianic times were prophesied to occur. Anyway, lots more, you know, can be researched and studied about the different aspects and the symbolic meanings of mountains, etc., etc. But right here it says, you know, those that put their trust in me, in the Lord God, shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. So, do some study on that holy mountain. There's a lot there to study. More than what we can imagine, what we can inherit. Verse 14, I'm going to... And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take the stumbling block out of the way of my people. In my prayer right now, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, as we study your word and we put our trust in you alone, Lord, that you would take up the stumbling block out of the way. Out of the way that's holding us back. From trusting and putting all our faith in you, Lord, that we could possess the land and that we would not inherit that holy mountain, Lord. Take away that stumbling block. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places with him. Woo! Yes. Who gets to dwell in the high and holy place with the Lord God? That is of a contrite and humble spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Amen. Yes. Verse 19, I create the fruit of my lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. I will hear him. Heal him. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Lord, I pray healing over each person here today. Spirit, soul, and body, be healed and set free from the powers of darkness. Be healed and set free from sin, sickness, disease, and calamity. All the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against everybody that hears this message right now. Hold up your hand and praise the Lord. Praise him in his holy temple. praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for healing and peace. Peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, would guard over our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. For there will be no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Verse 21. We thank you, Lord, for your peace today. Amen. Let's turn to Proverbs.
Hey.
Yes. Hello?
No, I'm here. Go ahead, sir. I thought you was finished. I'm sorry.
Let's turn to Proverbs 3. I'm trying to go through this quicker. Proverbs 3. Verse 5. This is in Proverbs 3 is an exhortation to obedience. And this is, I think, 5 and 6, probably some of our favorite scriptures here. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, we have to trust in the Lord. And that word trust in Hebrew means to confide in, so it has to be secure and without fear. You know, it's rendered trust 107 times. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are thy issues, are all the issues of life. Amen. You know, some ways to trust in God with all your heart. Focus on God. Put God first in your life and keep focus on him and his character, his love, his eternal qualities. We'll put your finger here on Proverbs, and let's just turn quickly to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Philippians 4. You know, and when we're talking about, you know, focusing on God and putting, you know, him first in our lives and keep focus on his character. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, moral excellence, goodness, kindness, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 5. I'm going to go back up. Let your moderation, your self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And that expression, the Lord is at hand, is they say, Maranatha, the Lord is at hand, or he's coming. It was a watchword of the early church. It's aromatic. Praise the Lord. Back to Proverbs that but anyway, we have to focus our, you know, some ways to trust God with all our heart, you know. We have to accept God's gift of eternal life and believe that he has provided everything you need to rely on him, especially the finished work of his dear son, Jesus Christ. What he did for all who believe on him on the cross of Calvary. You know, we have to accept God's gift. And we have to give God our hearts. Acknowledge and confess our sins, our shortcomings, etc., our burdens, and trust in Jesus to save us. Amen. Then we have to wait on the Lord. We have to fix our eyes and be still on him. And I was going to look up a bunch of scriptures for all these, but for time's sake, wasn't able to. But then we have to trust in the scriptures. Seek truth in the word. You know, check ourselves. Check our lives by the word of God. You know, we have to be grateful. Look for those things to be grateful for. Acknowledge all the good things, the blessings, the favors, the fellowship with like-minded believers, and especially salvation through Christ Jesus. Amen. We need to share our concerns with friends, family, community in a loving, compassionate way. That's what fellowship, that's what, you know, Mama's prayer calls are. You know, share your concerns, your prayer needs. Then we need to run from evil. We have to turn from it. Because it's trying to take hold of us. And then last, listen to the Holy Spirit and walk in it. There's many of scriptures that talk about to walk in the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Guided by the Spirit. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12. The Great Commandment. And these are in Jesus' words. Let's start with verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? You know, this is right after let's see here. The question about the resurrection, you know, they were questioning the resurrection, okay? And these scribes, you know, and these religious people were asking this. Which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandment is, Hear, O Israel. And let's just stop there for a minute. Like what I did this morning about 5:09 a.m. when I was reading this, I put my name here. Hear, old Denny. Hear, old Dennis. It was 5 o'clock this morning. 12:22-24. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. We need to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. You know, our hearts must be set on what delights the Lord's heart. Our minds must be anchored to His Word as the final authority. Our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions must be satisfied only with what pleases the Lord. Our strength must be spent also on whatever serves the Lord. Matthew 12:21, and in His name shall the Gentiles trust. You know, this is about Jesus as He was the chosen servant. Verses 15 through 21 to Matthew. Let's go turn to Psalm 33. And I about got this finished up here. Psalm 33. And these Psalms are so awesome. Psalm 32, 33, 34, I'm just 35, 6, 7, and man, I just got them highlighted all over. But Psalms 30, 33, let's go to verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Can we all say amen? For our hearts shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. There is no other name that we can trust. Trust in the Lord, in His holy name. Psalm 52. Psalm 52, verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trusted in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise Thee forever because Thou hast done it. And I will wait on Thy name, for it is good before the saints. You know, this Psalm 52 is a song about caution to the prideful wicked. Okay? In the first part of it, it talks about, you know, the working of the tongue devises mischiefs like a sharp ray. This is verse. We gotta read this, okay? Do we not see this today? Psalm 52. Why boastest thou self in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a razor, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. Wow. That's caution to the prideful. the righteousness shall see, wait, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this man is the man that made not God his strength. Are you making God your strength today? But trusted in the abundance of his riches and to strengthen himself in his wickedness. Oh, I can see that today. But, verse 8, I'm just going to write my name right there, each one of us. But the bride is like the green olive tree in the house of God. We trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. We will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will, and we will wait on the name, for it is good before thy saints. The name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, that's my message for today. So, Father God, we just thank you right now. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word will give us strength. It'll give us strength, Lord, to carry on in such a time as these, in these wearisome times. The times of all this delusion and deceitfulness we see all around us, Lord. These leaders and the leaderships in so many churches and the political realm, the religious realm, that are deceiving and people falling away. But we trust you, Lord, that you would guide us and lead us on the path of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as we trust in you, rely on you alone and no man, no system of this world, Lord, that you would give us that strength to carry on. And, Lord, we pray for wisdom and understanding of your word, that as we go out into this world, Lord, even though we are not of this world, that you will show us that path, Lord. It's a narrow path. Your word says it's a narrow path. And it's not easy. But, Lord, I just thank you right now that your word, your truth, as we trust in your word, your truth, Lord, that that path will be lit up for us. And we can walk on that path boldly before the evil. We can look at the evil in the face, look at the darkness in its face, and it is void from operating against us in any way, shape, or form. So we thank you, Lord, and praise you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here today and hearing this message. I hope it will help people, and I'm going to hand it over to Mama. She wants to sing this last song, I believe.
Well, I just want to say that it was a really awesome sermon. I really appreciate all that you put into it. You know, he was up almost all night with the Lord on this, and this reminds me, Pastor, of the other day when the Lord woke me up at 12:30 in the morning. I interceded for my family and the body of Christ, you know, with the things that's coming very soon. And I, that morning on the prayer call, we went about 5 hours. I mean, that time that I had spent with the Lord all night went into overflow, you know, and that's how you was today. And I just really thank the Lord for all that he's done in you when he called you to preach. We all remember it, you know, 2.5 years ago. And what God has done since then is just such an amazing thing. And we all pray, I'm sure I'm speaking for everybody, that you will have a wonderful Christmas knowing the love and support that you have out there from people.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and sing this song, and then we'll let you guys go. This is kind of our Christmas anthem song this year, because it truly may be our last to ever be able to have a Christian, a real Christian holiday, because they're taking over with the Judeo-Christian, going back to Hebrew roots in the name of Noahide laws. And so they're doing away with all memories of Christians. And this is one of them, is the Christmas holiday. You know, we know that the devil is hijacked it, you know, with Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff. But the whole heart of the holiday is all about the remembrance of the birth of Jesus and who he really is, you know, the Savior. He was born, you know. He left heaven to come down to be with us. And he truly was a lamb that was born in a manger. You know, just so prophetic on so many levels. And how the wise men. I mean, I just want to pause. This is a little political, but I got to say it because it come up in my spirit. Let's look at what happened to Jesus when he was born. You know, even in the days of old with the prophets and stuff, you know, they would come and anoint someone in their calling. Anoint them with oil and you know, pray over them and consecrate them to the Lord. The same with the Antichrist. And we all believe that's what happened in this farce of an assassination that happened. You know, they all gathered around him and, you know, did the blood thing. And, you know, he was put into his position at that point. And, but if you look at how they did Jesus, you know, these wise men, you know, were led by an angel and said, follow the star, the light. And they followed that in the night. They didn't have internet. They followed it to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a little baby that was born in a manger. Such humble beginnings, huh? And in there with cattle, you can't make that up. You know, and then in the end of times, which is where all of us are at now, you know, Jesus just revealed himself to heaven as the Lamb. Who is worthy to open the scrolls? It was him, because he was born in a manger. And when you think about it, what an awesome way that God chose you to live in this hour where the Lamb is being revealed in the end time scenario. You know, think about it. He was born in a manger, very humble beginnings. But our Lamb is coming back on a white horse. Totally different story then, ain't it? He's coming back with fire in his eyes. And he's going to blast them all to kingdom come. You know, he's that Lamb is going to roar then. But as Christians, we take this time once a year to focus on, wow, you know, he really was born the Lamb that was slain. All right, so when I sing this song, Silent Night, I want you to think about what a night that was, you know, where the angels bear witness to who he was, singing. And the wise men came to give him frankincense and myrrh and to anoint him, welcoming the Lamb into this realm. You know, the Bible talks about it when we go through the woman's matrix, you know. That's what it talks about. When a human is born, we go through a matrix. And all that matrix means is that we have a right to be here. You know, it's a right. And so he was anointed that night. And that night goes on forever in infamy. So let's sing about it. Silent night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Virgin Mother and Child, Holy Infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, darkness flies, all is light. Shepherds hear the angels sing. Hallelujah, hail the King. Christ the born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lends the light with the angels, let us sing. Hallelujah to our King. Christ born. One last time, this one verse. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Virgin Mother and Child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Amen, everybody. We pray you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. God bless.